You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 89 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. March is Pregnancy After Loss Awareness Month. This month, we are discussing pregnancy after loss, but also loss of jobs, marriages, and family members as you grieve the loss of your angel. In today's episode, we have Keila Brown, who shares grief from losing a job and one twin during her current pregnancy. Keila experienced two miscarriages, one before her current pregnancy, and she lost a twin during this pregnancy. She has dealt with the stress of trying to conceive, being a mother while pregnant, losing her job, miscarrying, homeschooling, high-risk pregnancy, all while moving to a new state. All of Keila's experiences led her to write her debut poetry collection titled Carried Motherhood, A Miscarriage. Keila shares in this episode how she has managed her grief through all the trauma she's experienced and has shared in this episode how it feels to carry one twin while grieving the loss of the other one. This episode is for you to listen to if you have experienced grief from loss of a job or a twin in a pregnancy. Here is Keila Brown.
Well, thank you, Keila, for being on the podcast. I'd like to get started with you sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so I am a North Carolina native. I'm currently living outside of Dallas, Texas. Right now, I'm kind of a stay-at-home mom, but I've been a part-time working mom. I've been a full-time working mom, and I'm grateful to have experienced all aspects of that. I have a four-year-old son who I'm currently homeschooling, and I am currently pregnant as well.
Well, take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
Okay, so I had my first son when I was 21. I was still in college at the time. I don't want to say I experienced a lot of shame, but I dealt with a lot of judgment because I was still in school. And my husband and I were young. So after we had our son and a couple years passed, we decided we wanted to have another child. So we went through the entire trying to conceive plan where I was tracking ovulation, having pregnancy tests, trying to find out what my cervical mucus consistency was. And we did end up getting pregnant. And the second time that I got pregnant, it didn't even cross my mind that I could miscarry. Like, it didn't cross my mind at all. Even though I knew that it was a possibility, I just didn't think it could happen to me. I guess that's what I thought. So I had a midwife at the time, and I was experiencing light spotting at first. And I was working at the time, so I called her, and she kept questioning whether I was in pain. And I told her, no, I'm not experiencing any pain. It's just I have bright red blood. And she's like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. If you're not experiencing pain, it's fine. It's normal. We'll see you at your 12-week check-in. I'm sorry. So I'm like, okay. And we got there. And at first, she couldn't find the heartbeat. So obviously, I'm freaking out. And she told me how it was fine. You don't always hear the heartbeat at 12 weeks. Everything is fine. I'm not in any pain. And then they sent me to another doctor who actually had another ultrasound done where they could see the flickering of a heartbeat. So at that point, I was a little relieved, but I was still experiencing blood loss. And it didn't get any heavier. It was still sort of light. But I called again and I'm saying to her, wow, I'm still bleeding. It's been 2 weeks. I'm, 14 weeks pregnant. And she's like, are you in any pain? No, ma'am, I'm not in any pain. Oh, you're fine. Just call back if you're in excruciating pain. So I'm thinking, okay, she's a professional. She's seen this before. Well, 2 more weeks passed and it got a little bit heavier, but again, I didn't experience any pain. So at this point, I'm 16 weeks pregnant. And I call her again and I say, you know, like, I really want you to understand that I'm scared. This has been happening for almost five weeks. Something is wrong. And she's like, no, you're not experiencing any pain. The blood flow isn't crazy. But my husband insisted that we go to the emergency room anyways, because it's been a while. Well, we got there. Again, like I said, I was 16 weeks. And at the emergency room, they told us that I was miscarrying and that they were going to send me over to their OBGYN. And so they explained to me how, yes, I was miscarrying, and gave me the option of doing it naturally or having a DNC. So I decided to go home and do it semi-naturally, where they gave you some pill. That was terrible, by the way. And we ended up moving to Texas right afterwards. Well, when I went back for my checkup, everything wasn't gone. And they were telling me how there was a chance that I might, like, if I leave some tissue, it'll get infected. So I ended up having to have a DNC anyways. And that was the story of my first miscarriage. And then we end up getting pregnant 6 months later with my current pregnancy, where I miscarried. I was pregnant, but of course I was scared because I've already experienced the miscarriage. And then I started bleeding while at work. I went straight to the doctor and they told me I was having another miscarriage. And when I went back so they can do one final ultrasound before we schedule my DNC, they realized that there was another child in there and I had miscarried one fraternal twin, but I was still pregnant, which is my current pregnancy, and I'm actually due in November. So that's a blessing in itself.
Wow. So you were pregnant with twins.
I had no idea.
So share with us how your healing journey has been, especially now that you are currently pregnant. And you lost, you know, your previous miscarriage, and then now, you know, you lost the other twin.
Yeah, so my journey began, well, first let me be honest and say I was really upset, and particularly with God, because I had prayed and prayed after my first miscarriage to let me get pregnant in God's time when I can have a healthy, uncomplicated pregnancy. That was my prayer for months. And so when I got pregnant and I experienced a miscarriage, I was upset. Like, why would you let me get pregnant if you weren't going to let me have this child? But my journey, my healing journey began when I realized, who am I to think that I know more than God knows? So at that point, I thought, yes, I have a limited view, but I'm not all knowing. I don't know everything. So I kind of stepped back and really opened up to the people around me. Because at first I found myself shutting down, but that's just my nature. You know, I thought as a kid, the best way to deal with grief was to do it alone because you didn't want to bother people. But as an adult, I learned that that's not true. And in my case, my support system really helped me out. They were an outlet for me. My husband and my friends were great. And I also began, my therapist suggested that I write down my feelings. So I would write down how I felt, kind of in a journal or a diary, which ended up being a book that I published. But I would write that down, and it was also an outlet. I would cry and really put down the things that I thought maybe would be too dark to tell people. And I really tried not to ignore how I felt. So I was very open with people, whoever, and really didn't want to just say, oh, I'm okay, if I wasn't okay. And then I had a couple of friends who would think that they were being there to help me by saying things like, it's fine, you're young, you can try again, you know, it's okay, it's been a long time, why don't you try to do X, Y, Z? And they would think that they were helping, but really, it only made me feel worse. So I would try to filter out those comments and acknowledge that these people are trying to help me. They just might not know the right words to use, you know. what to say, especially if they haven't been parents before. It's kind of hard to be there for somebody when you don't understand even what's going on or how that person might be feeling. So that's what I did. And I was very vocal with God about how I felt. So, I mean, he knows my heart anyways. So I would let him know, like, I'm angry about this. I'm finding it hard to pray. I'm finding it hard to go to church and smile at people. So being really open and honest about that was a huge part of my healing journey.
Absolutely. And I love that your therapist suggested that you write your stuff down so that you could really get it out. Because journaling really just releases everything. Sometimes you can't say it. Sometimes you just close the book. And then on the other hand, what you were saying about, I believe, I don't think that we shouldn't say, why God, why me? We have to ask God those questions. We may not get answers all the time.
Right.
To ask him those questions. So tell us about how your journey was with your relationship with your husband, and then having to actually explain this to your son.
Wow. Miscarriage was hard on my marriage. It was very hard because I knew that my husband was dealing with his own healing journey, but we are so different in how we heal. And he is very, he took a more practical approach than I did. And I was very emotional about the whole thing. So it came off in some times that he didn't care, that he was over it, which isn't the case. It's just how he deals with grief. And I've seen that even with him losing family members. So I knew that we had a different grieving process. But at the time, I felt personally attacked because I'm thinking, like, this is our child. Why don't you care? And he's telling me he does care, but I'm not seeing what I think I should be seeing from him, which is unfair, I know. But at the time, that's honestly how I felt. So I thought, even though he was there for me, he would listen whenever I talked. He would, give feedback, always be there. I still felt isolated and alone because he would go on with his life. He would go to work. He would, do X, Y, Z. And I felt paralyzed. And I'm like, why? And you can just go on with life, which caused some resentment, honestly. And I had to acknowledge that, pray about it. Let him know how I felt and really look into myself to see why I was feeling that way. Because this is his personality. He does it with everything. But in this particular case, I felt personally attacked because it was such a huge loss that was so near to me that I just expected a different kind of reaction from him that I didn't necessarily get all the time. So it was hard. I considered leaving. We were in Texas. I considered flying back home to North Carolina and staying there for a couple months because I didn't want to see him just carry on with life. But that's where God came in and I really prayed about it and looked into my own heart. And we ended up working things out. We saw a marriage counselor. That was great. Really helped me vocalize how I was feeling because he's very solution-based. And that really helped us, praying together. But it was the roughest part of our marriage was right after both miscarriages, to be honest.
Join me and my sisters-in-law in the DMV on Saturday, April 13th, 2019 at 11 a.m. at Bus Boys in Poets Tacoma at our annual Sisters-in-Law Brunch. While dining on traditional brunch classics and mimosas, our sisters will enjoy a powerful keynote speaker, a live podcast panel discussion featuring three local organizational founders, where we'll be discussing the topics of maternal and infant mortality outcomes for Black women and supporting Black women through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and infertility. There will be fellowship, swag bags, and so much more. To secure your ticket, go to sistersinlawsbrunch.com. Once again, that is sistersinlawsbrunch.com. I cannot wait to see all my sisters in the DMV on Saturday, April 13th.
Absolutely. I completely understand that. So share with us how you broke the news to your son. How were you able to make him understand actually what was happening?
I'm not quite sure he fully understands what happened. Like, so he asked me, you know, where's the baby? Or where's the baby gonna sleep? The first miscarriage when there was no baby afterwards. And I kind of explained to him that, oh, the baby is, God decided that we didn't need the baby. And he's like, what does that mean? And I realized how vague that was. He knew that my brother had passed away. And I kind of explained to him how, you know, about heaven and hell at that time. And so I told him that the baby passed away like my brother. And he said, why? Why? We, like, he didn't understand how a baby could pass away when you didn't even see it. And I really was at a loss for words. So I just kind of explained to him how, you know, we didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes it happens, but we won't. He asked, could we go see the baby? And I told him that we couldn't see the baby. And he just kind of walked away at that point. And I left it alone because at that time he was 3. But with this last pregnancy, surprisingly, he kept asking me, are there 2 babies? And I never told him that we were having twins at this point or anything. So I'm like, no, it's just 1 baby. And I told him when we found out the sex that it was a boy. And he was like, is it a boy and another boy? Or is it a boy and a girl? And I explained to him how there were 2 babies, but now there's 1. And the same thing happened again. But in this time, I told him that the baby was in heaven. And he said, well, I want to see the baby in heaven. And I kind of just incorporated when we say our nighttime prayers that we would pray for the baby that's in heaven and then pray for the baby that's in my stomach. So I think I'm not sure he fully understands what like the loss of life is, but he knows that there's a separation between what's in front of him that he can touch and then things that we pray for, like my brother and, you know, our children that aren't with us. So I'm not quite sure at 4 he gets it, but I would love to figure out a way to explain to a 4-year-old what really happened.
Awesome. No, I think, Mom, you did an excellent job. Mm-hmm. I think that's excellent on how you would explain to a 4-year-old, especially since you had to explain to him the whole concept of life and death before.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, kudos to you on what you did and the fact that you are praying with him every night about the babies. Oh, man, that warms my heart.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Share with us any resources or tools that you use. I know you mentioned therapy, couples therapy, mm-hmm. as well as regular therapy.
Right.
Any other tools or resources that you use to help you on your grief journey?
Right. So at first I found online, like blogging communities helpful at first. But then I realized once I really became serious about my healing journey that they only made me feel even more depressed. So I think that the blogging community and social networking sites are good so that you know that you're not alone. You're not the only one that feels this way. You know, other people can understand your perspective. I don't think it's beneficial in the long run because those groups are kind of just stuck in that how you're feeling at the time of loss mindset. And I don't think that's conducive to your healing journey. So I did start off with meeting people online and talking to them about how I felt. But then afterwards, I really, really reached out to the people in my church community, like my church family. And I had never been active in this church. It was a new church. But they were really encouraging and they would pray with you. And I could tell them as little or as much as I wanted to. And we would sit there and we would pray about it. And I would tell them what I was struggling with no judgment. It was great. And then I also, outside of writing often, I read a lot. So I read a lot about a lot of Christian books. I read a lot of fiction books that had nothing to do with miscarriage because it was kind of an outlet and an escape. And then lastly, having the miscarriages really prompted me to be more present in my home life. So before, I think I took things more for granted with my husband and my son. But now I'm I'm really trying to be conscious and mindful of how I'm spending my time, because I realize that life is so precious and it can literally be gone in a snap of a finger. So it really opened up my eyes to help me start the day off with a spirit of thankfulness and then reflect on what I do have that I'm grateful for.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that perspective change. So tell us about your parenting after loss journey. So you had your son prior to your loss, about to birth this new life. So how do you think you parent differently after loss? And then how do you think that you will parent with this new life that you're about to birth?
Let my husband tell it. I've gotten more soft. So my son can definitely get away with more than he used to. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's something I really need to work on, but I'm learning to pick my battles. So I used to be really strict about what I say is what I say all the time. And now I'm learning that, you know, why does it matter if he's wearing green shoes or black shoes? He has shoes on. So even though I told him to put on the black shoes. So that's something that's changed. I'm less argumentative with my son. You know, I'm less of a disciplinarian, and my husband had to kind of step up a little bit more for that. And I feel like I'm more patient with him, which I'm not naturally a really patient person. So that's something I had to pray about and really practice on a regular basis. But I'm more patient because I realize that I'll never get this time back with him. And nothing can replace this time. He's growing so fast. And I really want to take in every moment that I can, because one day he's going to be out of my house. I pick him up more because I'm not going to be able to pick him up one day. And, you know, we read together. I make sure to pray with him and do all the stuff that I can with him now, because that might not be the case on another day. So that really helped me realize where I need to spend my time as a parent. With my rainbow child, I think it's going to be the same. I'm really going to instill family values in my children, because like I said, it's so important, and it's sad that it takes a loss for you to see sometimes how important family is and how much of an impact they have. So I want my family to be really tight-knit and there for each other. So that's something I really want to instill in my children. And I think it was sparked by, you know, experiencing a loss.
Absolutely. I love that. Mm-hmm. So talk about your book, the book that you wrote that I guess was a compilation of the journaling that you did.
Yes, ma'am. It's called Carried: Motherhood Miscarried. It's available on Amazon, by the way. But it's a book that really talks about the highs and the lows of motherhood and miscarriage in general. So it goes through my experiences being pregnant for the first time in college and crying. I'm ashamed to even say now, when I found out I was pregnant with my son in college, my first reaction was tears, and not tears of joy. I was scared. I was confused, and I didn't plan for that. So I was really, it talks about that, and then how later on, once you're more aware of what's going on, I regret even feeling that way at all. So it goes over how I felt then when I was younger, birthing him, and then it goes through both miscarriages. And then the last section is kind of like words of encouragement or looking towards the future. But it's a really quick read. It's a poetry book, and it's a really quick read. You could probably read the whole thing in 15 minutes. So it helped me a lot. And so my hope is that it helps other women to at least know that you're not alone, you know, when you read it.
So encouraging words for the moms out there who are trying again and that are in that trying again process to have their rainbow baby.
Right. Every morning when I was trying to conceive, I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, you are worthy, especially of being a mom, of carrying life. You are loved, particularly I meant by God, and you are not alone. There's a community of women. So I said those things because after weeks, months, or years, or however long of trying, those affirmations start to get a little shaky. Like, you wonder, am I worthy of being a parent? Like, why haven't I conceived? Or you think, like, God can't love me because I haven't had a child yet. Like, what am I doing wrong? Or you feel like you're alone because everybody around you is getting pregnant. So those are the three things that I would say to myself, because it's a good reminder that even though you feel unworthy, you feel unloved, you feel alone, you are not. It's your mind tricking you, but you are not. It's just that way. And I also want to say it's okay to feel how you feel. Like, there is not a timeline for your healing journey. There's no right or wrong way to tell God how you're feeling, because he knows your heart. You know, be honest with yourself and deal with your emotions head on if you can. Don't just say you're okay when you're not okay. You know, reach out for help when you really feel like you need that outside support. Child loss is something that nobody or nothing can prepare you for, so it shouldn't be taken lightly. And that's really what I have to say. You know, I'm praying for all the moms out there that's trying. I know it's not easy. And I know our mind is our worst enemy when it comes down to, you know, trying to conceive and trying to grow your family.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your story and your light and your book. And we wish you well next month as you birth this rainbow baby.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I pray that this show was inspirational and a blessing to you. For show notes, visit ericaandmcafee.com/podcast. Please join us in our offline discussions in our private Facebook group by going to sistersinloss.com. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please rate and subscribe to us and leave us a 5-star review. I pray that you all have a blessed week. Keep the faith, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.